Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Oh, feels a lot more. Hello, Ralph.
And we're back to the sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson. And thanks to you, the listener.
Just one.
Who has bought a stubby holder or a T-shirt. I've actually just paused Patreon. I realised it was just too much work for me. Welcome, 2020. We've made it to year two, Dane.
Thanks, man. Well, sort of. We can really go as long as we want.
We've had some ups and downs.
Well, Scotty has, not me.
Who?
Well, is that the new year? We're allowed to say his name.
Well, yeah, I just slipped. We've been off for a while.
And welcome back, Samantha Richards.
Thank you. I'm barely alive, but I'm here. I'm actually really happy to be here.
I will introduce our guest straight off the top. Natasha Exelby. Do we call you Tash?
I think you do, yes. Okay. I feel good about Tash. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Mm. So you've been a star covering the bushfires for Channel 10. We'll get to all the serious stuff later, but thanks so much for coming in.
It was my pleasure.
Yeah.
Well, it is my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us. I need a little more weight on my side, you know?
Yeah.
Just wait to the end of the podcast before you're saying it's my pleasure. Yeah. I'm sure you haven't listened, so.
Well, I'm buoyed by your enthusiasm, Dan.
Yeah, well, it's about as enthusiastic as I get.
Well, our last one, we had one of your colleagues in, Candace White.
Oh, yes. Lovely woman.
And I got your contact, and very nice of you to come in.
Thank you.
Yep. You've had a great career all over the world, and here you are here. So thanks for lowering yourself.
Port Melbourne with us.
Now, what are you doing? Because Tash, Samantha, and me, we've all worked through Christmas and New Year's.
Well, Dane. Dane works from home, so it never really stops, does it, Dane?
Mate, even God has a day off.
Sundays.
What did I do? I went to Bunnings for the first time. I was a 35-year-old male. Joint's pretty big, eh?
Yeah, big.
It's an intimidating place.
Did you get a snag?
Well, I was forced to go there. I actually went twice in 3 days, funnily enough. So I've had my Bunnings thing for the year.
What were you looking for?
Well, I had a party at my place New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So I was looking for party stuff, to be honest.
And Bunnings.
Yeah. No.
Lawn mowers and
we needed. Well, fucked fine. I just wheeled the trolley. That's
we're
all
back.
I did. We had to get an umbrella, like a, because on my roof now, when we built the place, there was no apartments around, so the rooftop. Now everyone can see in, like, because all the apartments have gone up. Yep. So we got like a umbrella kind of thing to stop people peeping in, and then we got a couch for upstairs.
Is that so you can sun your butthole?
Yes, and we have perineum sunning. Yeah, absolutely.
What the hell have I walked into?
Yeah, exactly.
2 minutes in, and we're sunning butthole.
Yes.
Pretty much.
I found my people.
What else? And we got a couch where the. So I've got a couple of TVs upstairs so people could sit down and so I went to Bunnings and while I was actually do you reckon umbrellas were invented for the sun or for the rain?
It's a great question, Dane.
I reckon it's size really dependent.
Oh, it's something I've
well, the first the first one.
Well, I think like a parasol is for the sun, right? And it's slightly different in design. Am I correct?
I don't know what a parasol is.
I was about to go to Google myself.
I thought you said I'm at a beach in Bali.
Am I in the right
parasite?
Am I wrong?
No, I think you are right.
A parasol, like if you go to the races and see a lady, obviously, with a parasol, like a beautiful cotton, and I think it's deeper in shape.
Right.
Yeah. Am I right? I mean,
you've lost half of us.
Yeah.
No. Well, I think they're for the sun, and I think the rain is a different design so that the rain runs off you.
Oh, yes.
The rain is wider.
Yes, okay.
So that the rain stays away from you.
Yeah, well, I just saw the first person who invented one, do you think it was for the rain or for the sun? He's like, fuck, it's hot out here. I need something to shade it, or Jesus pissing down. I need to cover me in.
I reckon B. Fucking B.
You reckon the rain?
I feel like it's sun. I feel like it's sun.
So do I. Yeah.
Do you have an answer, Dane?
Well, no, I don't, because I wasn't there. do you think?
Thanks for bringing teaching so knowledge.
I don't Google things like that. But Bunnings was big, and I just pushed it around. I actually went to get a snag, but it wasn't Saturday. It was. I think it was a Sunday, and it was a Sunday and a Tuesday. New Year's was on a Tuesday, or Sunday and a Tuesday. But apart from that, not much else happened. I went to the Gold Coast 5 days, walked in, I got zinced for the back of my neck because they reckon I had neck tattoo. So they, all the rest of me, I was in shorts and a T-shirt, and they put zinc on the back of my neck to hide my neck tattoo. Oh.
They reckon you had tattoos.
Well, they said my neck one. So it was protruding out of my T-shirt. So,
But they were fine with your...
Yeah, which is odd, isn't it?
That is odd, yes. It's
very odd, considering Ali just sneaks up. What else? I went... It was pretty quiet, actually, because I go to LA next Saturday, so...
Oh, thankfully.
Yeah, I know. I got chirped at the movies, actually.
What does chirped mean?
Well, I went to the Gold Class or whatever it was. I went and seen The Gentleman. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen any movies. I want to play.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's amazing. One of Guy Ritchie's best ones. I loved it. But I went, we're in Gold Class, whatever it was, and this couple were behind me.
Bunnings to Gold Class.
Man of the people.
I don't watch movies with the commoners. Someone.
No, that's the one thing you don't.
You're so relatable.
No, but this couple, older couple, probably your age, Ralph. I was actually at the Como in South Yarra, actually. First time I'd been.
The Como
that is posh.
Yeah, because it was the only time. It was in the middle of my 24-hour row, which I guess we can talk about in a sec. But they said, oh, geez, you're a bit overdressed for the movies. Now, if you dress up to go to the movies, you're an imbecile, especially the Gold Class.
I agree.
Well, I had pajama pants on.
Okay, well that's
or pajama shorts on.
That's a bit different to just a casual pair of footy shorts. Like I'll cop footy shorts, and even those are on the brief.
Yeah, like just pajama shorts. Or Peter Alexander, they're sort of.
Mate, I don't care if you're walking in an Emporio Armani. You don't go to a cinema in your pajamas.
Why?
Well, it's offensive.
It's like I'm sitting on the couch. What is it? So I had thongs on, pajama shorts,
with or without bonds.
Bonds.
Yeah, underneath.
I had underwear on. That's good. And like just like a loose tee and a hoodie and a hat.
I'm surprised you didn't get arrested.
Well, it's happened before. It's usually when the bonds aren't on. geez, you're a bit underdressed. And I was like, it was the day of the polo, so that must have been Saturday. So they said, you should be going to the polo. I was like, well, I'm not cool enough for the polo, but... My point is, if you dress up, why would you want to be uncomfortable dressing up in like a suit to go to the movies to sit in Gold Class? It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, amen to that. But like, isn't there a big difference between wearing a suit and just a pair of chinos?
For people even jeans. Do you get up when you watch movies on the couch? Do you whack a pair of jeans on?
Mate, there's a lot of things I do inside my house that should not be done in public.
Yeah, so. My point is, I just don't think. I want to be comfortable when I go to a movie. And if I could watch A Gentleman at Home, I would have. But unfortunately, I don't have Village Cinemas at my house.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can work that out by going to Bunnings and fetching some things.
Yeah, well.
Create a cinema.
No, I got lost in there, so I'm not going back. I had to go to help. I had to go to the help desk and wait, and they call for Taylor.
Such a man. What a guy.
They call for Taylor's name over the PA.
Well, you're a lost child.
Yeah, your child's lost. Got a lot of tattoos for a kid, but can you find out? Sat there crying for half an hour. She came over about 40 pot plants. And I was like, fuck it, we're not going to fit these in the car.
How good. So it's always a stressful trip back from Bunnings when you've got plants. Like, is the boot going to close? Like, it's a very
well. And that was another trip. Thing. So we got, you know, we went for one thing, come out with 100. Mm. And so I was like, that's not fitting in the car. She's like, yes, it is. We'll fit in the car. Dude, think was right. For once.
For once.
So I told you that's not going to fucking fit in the car. You idiot.
So you have to carry a few things?
No, we have to go and then get it delivered. She's like, no, it won't get delivered for 3 days. And there was a big sign right, literally it was like a movie, right above her head, same day delivery. I was like, fuck, I should have taken a photo. I was like, serious? Let's have a look behind you. So the same day, then it wasn't the same day delivery, it was the next morning. But we got it.
So they lied, basically. They lied.
Yeah, they did. Well, it was in the arvo. It was 3-4 o'clock in the arvo. But... Mm. That was about the extent of mine and the row I did. But
just one other thing, though. How come you haven't wished us Happy New Year yet?
Because it's fucking well and truly gone.
What's the rule? You asked for this.
Think the rule is of rule of thumb of wishing people Happy New Year now? Well, a week.
I don't even go that long.
Like, if you see your parents like a week later or something, probably, but commoners, like just random people in the street, like, hey, mate, like you don't know, Happy New Year, like, please, give me a spell.
Shut your neck.
Really?
Well, I think I've been at work. I've been back at work since day two, so I feel like we've already got that out of the way. So by day three, I'm like, all right, that's enough now. We're all working.
Yeah.
I realise that not everyone is working.
Well, you're not going to say Happy New Year to the same person twice. No. But, like, now it's well and truly gone.
If you, see ya.
You should be locked up if you say Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Tash, tiebreaker?
Yeah, I think I said Happy New Year to you when I walked in, didn't
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
I'll be in the corner racking back and forth if anyone...
No, absolutely.
Dana, I have an answer for you, by the way.
What? For what? Oh,
so it originally was designed as a parasol from ancient Egypt to protect from the sun, and from an umbrella was evolved, which protects from the rain.
There you go.
We're an educational podcast, you see, here, Tash, so we need to let them know.
The big questions.
What's the umbrella for perineums in? Did you miss the whole butthole sunning thing, Tash?
She's unaware. This is breaking news stories.
Okay.
Yeah. People, it's a pastime of many people. Yeah.
What?
Perineum sunning, it's actually good for your health. It's all over Instagram. Yeah.
Mm. Put your legs up in the air like a V. And
just a couple of minutes a day.
Get some vitamin D there.
You should do a story on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what the vision would look like.
Well, there's photos.
Well, I've got I can give you a rough idea of what the vision would look like. Imagery. Yeah. I'll just
what do you mean? Like, does it help you?
Yeah, it's good for you,
I'm down for things that are good for you. Like, am I going to get benefits from it?
Apparently.
It's a quick sunning of the north for 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, it's good for you.
It's a bit hazy up here, though, so it's probably...
Yeah, the sun's not really getting through the smoke.
You don't want any smoke up there.
You want a clear day?
I'm happy for anyone to blow smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you've been away, basically. Been away from us, and we've missed you. And so we did a few shows without you. We did our best, but where you been?
Where haven't I been? Mainly Sydney and Perth, really.
So you haven't been a lot of places then?
Yeah. There's a lot of places I have yet to get.
So you've been to two places.
Correct, just two.
Okay, yeah.
Only two. If we're going to get into it, two. Sydney and Perth with work. So
what work?
So obviously with the Kings and the Flames being the women's NBL team. And then the tennis, so the ATP Cup.
Stop there, please. We were stuck on what the name of the mascot was you were hugging.
We did clarify this.
No, we did it together, but we haven't clarified this on the pod, so people are just hanging for this.
Well, we did, but I don't know if you could hear me. It was a lion.
Oh, that one.
the king of the jungle is the lion. Mm. So there's the lion and the cub.
Should be called the Sydney Lions then.
Yeah, well. I know. I'm not sure why they didn't go with... I don't know. What other mascot would you give him, Dane?
A king is probably the simple answer.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but like...
Like Burger King, they have a king. They don't have a lion.
Do they have a king?
Yeah. Mm. They've got a king. They've got a bloke for crown.
And everything.
Exactly. Ah. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure.
Like, Burger King.
I feel like usually mascots are not human, apart from Storm Man, obviously, but aren't they usually animals?
Depends what the title of the thing is called.
I was once the demon as a kid.
Yeah, of course he was.
The what?
The demon.
The wee man.
No, the it was anyway. But for the Melbourne cheer squad, I had to dress up in the demon's costume.
Sounds awesome.
Good for you.
Jealous?
Oh man, it's a hole in the head.
Wow.
So tell us about Tennis World.
Tennis World's been intense, actually. I'll tell you what. So many fuckwits go to the tennis.
Yeah.
I have been.
I hope you're not working in the Australian Open. That's going to be a little, that's going to be a little awkward.
Well, not yet, but maybe.
Well, not anymore.
Well, I got on the ATP Cup in Perth. No, it's very obvious. We can discuss it. I don't mind. In Perth. And then once that finished, I had 6 days over there. And then the final eight moved to the final series in Sydney. And then I got a last minute call up for that, which was good, except it meant I left at like 5:30 in the morning and then I worked till 2 the next morning. So that was a long day. And so many, oh. I don't understand idiots that go to the tennis. Like, do they think they're cool? Like when the person's about to serve going, meh, or making some dumb noise
really? Every
time. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I will come into the audience. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to get you.
Like just like because I haven't been to the tennis ever.
Oh wow, it'll change your life. It's a good atmosphere.
Well, you're not painting in a wonderful picture.
Well, no, the atmosphere is usually good. There's just one or two usually drunk. Usually men. Yeah. Sorry, guys, but let's be honest.
All men. Hashtag.
That's very men. Sad. I take offence to that.
Yeah, I thought you might. Mm. Well, we live in an offended culture and time, Dane. Yeah, so, But the atmosphere at the Serbian game was like something I have never experienced in my life. It was the loudest crowd and it did not stop apart from 3 or 4 seconds while they were serving.
Serbian v.
The loudest crowd you've been in the footy?
I have.
I reckon it'll be a smidgen louder.
Dane, I'm telling you, it was outrageous.
How many people there?
I had an earplug in this year because not many because it was only at Ken Rosewell Arena, 10,000.
Who's Ken Rosewell? Why has he got an arena?
He's won 8 Grand Slams for Australia. He's a lovely old man. He's one of our best tennis players from the past.
Tennis isn't my thing.
But the Serbian crowd was outrageous. Like I thought it was going to turn into like the Chelsea riots. It was like being at a Premier League game. It was outrageous. But I think also because the way that the arena is designed and they've just put a roof on it, it was like amplified. I had a plug in my ear for comms so they could hear my boss and I still couldn't hear him properly turned right up. It was outrageous and it was like hurting your other ear. It was full on. Until 2 in the morning.
You spent time in Europe. Did you do the soccer thing or any of those type of sports?
To be honest, no. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer because most of the games that I went to were like terrorist bombs were going off at them. So
sounds awesome.
Eventful.
Tickets cheap.
I do feel like I've kind of done a pretty big upgrade from your Serbian necklace.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Whereabouts?
I lived not far from one of the major soccer grounds in Istanbul, in Beşiktaş. So
Galatasaray?
Yeah. The Galatasaray and then Beşiktaş and then, there's one other and it's terrible that I can't remember them right now. But, yeah, I don't want to talk about the soccer games. Let's move on to something else.
Really?
Okay.
It wasn't fun.
Well, I think, no.
Okay.
No. Sorry about that.
Good question, Ralph.
Yeah. Great question. Well done by you.
Keep him coming, another mate. Winner. Another zinger.
He's good. He's good, isn't he? So we'll go back to idiots then. Why do you think people do that then?
A tennis?
Yeah, because if you're trying
you're not allowed to talk.
Yeah, but those few seconds.
Tennis would be so much more fun if you could support and talk during a point. Why? They're the best players in the world. Why do they need to be deadly silent?
Well, you can talk during the point, just not during their serve.
But why? You're the best players in the world. Blind enough for goal, you get 100,000 people chirping you.
I was sitting next to Grothy.
You're playing, I don't know, chess. I'm sure there's people out of support while you're playing chess or...
the darts, etc.
If you're the best player in the world, you should be able to handle a bit of this.
Well, I get that. And I did ask Grothy about it because he said when you go to Wimbledon and you're on the outside courts, there are people like you and me away walking past constantly. So you don't actually notice a noise because it's constant.
Yeah,
it's just because in the big arenas, it's become a thing that we stop. It becomes deadly silent and then one fuckwit goes and it puts you off. It distracts you. If there was constant noise, it wouldn't be a problem, but it's because there's a little...
Well, make constant noise because if you're the best player in the world, you should be able to handle someone chirping you. Like, you get it in every other major sporting event in the whole world. Darts, they go apeshit and you know, there they have to concentrate. Mm. You're the best player in the world, just suck it up and cop some abuse. Everyone did when we were playing.
I feel like if it was constant, it would be all right because like Grothy said, when you're in there and like you'll probably attest to, you can't really notice it. It becomes white noise after a while, but it's because it becomes silent and then there's some idiot. It stands out. Or there's a baby crying. Why? I know, but I don't understand.
I went and saw Jojo Rabbit. Okay. Good movie. Good movie. and you just gave me a flashback of some imbecile taking their baby there.
Why do it? I don't understand.
She'll be banned from planes as well.
Like, these tickets are, like, these tickets are expensive. They're not cheap. So I'm not entirely sure. Like, I get that some people are in a financial position that the money might not bother them, but why would you bring – it's 1 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday and you've got a child – I don't quite
There's another issue with tennis, though.
Go ahead.
People wearing polo tops and tennis shorts at the tennis.
What's the issue with that?
Like, they're playing.
Well, you
don't wear
– What do you wear, Ralph?
Well, you don't wear tennis gear to go – What you don't wear a footy jumper and footy shorts to go to the game, do you?
Well, I would imagine people do.
Which is always the barometer of
nothing. Footy boots would probably take it a bit far.
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
But people wear tennis – like, Tasha's wearing, like, the equivalent of tennis shoes. I'm wearing thongs, but, like, tennis shoes are pretty widely worn because people just walk around in runners.
What would you wear to the – Well, obviously, that
you'd wear a suit of the movies too, wouldn't you?
To gold class. That's
your old president.
Yeah.
All the time.
Because he hasn't owned any bit of suit, Ed.
If you're going to the Australian Open this year, what would you wear?
I'm cool about wearing summer clothes, but it's the point about wearing actual tennis gear, you know, Lacoste or something.
I wear some Lacoste things. Even not at the tennis.
That's two from two, Ralph. You're going well, mate. You're going well.
Who invited her?
Lacoste. A lovely dress shoe. Right.
They do. Yes, they do. Actually, went looking for some.
And a wonderful collared polo.
Yeah. Of all things I have a problem with, I don't have a problem with people wearing polos and tennis shorts to the tennis. Like, that's the crowd that they get. So it's like going to the polo in Portsea. Everyone wears... Like the same
clothes. What, horse riding gear?
Yes.
No, they don't. They wear polo.
I've never seen anyone in jumpers.
Don't you go to the polo and everyone's la-di-da?
Yeah.
That's why I don't go to the polo. Okay. That's why we avoid it.
I picked up on that.
I still got beaten.
Maybe it was different in Victoria, but little jug from what top I can say from New South Wales, people who go to the polo are wankers.
So you...
Yes.
You are not a Melbourne person.
That is true. Yes. No. I want to be, though.
Yeah.
I think.
What have you learned about Melbourne? What'd you think about Melbourne? What have you learned since you moved here last year?
Well, this is like the sixth or seventh city I've ever moved to because I've been around a bit. And
can you rank them? Yeah, let's rank them.
Oh, okay, so I grew up on a farm in country Queensland, then moved to Brisbane, then moved to Sunshine Coast, then moved to Bundaberg, then moved to Townsville, then moved to Canberra, then moved to Sydney, then moved to Turkey, then moved back to Sydney, then moved back to Queensland, and now I'm in Melbourne. So,
I'd probably say Bundaberg and Canberra are on the top of the list.
Well, mate, at times they certainly had it over Turkey.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to. I left that out. I don't need to start a war with the Turkish people.
Yeah,
well,
I'm sure it's
a lovely place.
But I love Sydney. Sometimes the people aren't amazing, some of the people, but it's a pretty great city.
I love Sydney.
Yeah. It's so expensive, though. So anyway, I thought Melbourne is like a good middle ground. It's somewhere like where Queensland meets Sydney in terms of having awesome culture and people, but also like a distinct sort of lack or a lower ratio of fuckwits than Sydney, I would think.
Yeah. I don't agree with you.
Well, no, but I'm not...
This place breeds fuckwits like nowhere else.
Well, I'm learning this, you see, because from afar I thought, Melbourne, those guys have got their shit in a pile. But some of you... I don't know if I'm going to endear myself to my new people.
No, stop
but
there.
Like,
stop.
Some people have...
She said some of you and just pointed directly at me.
I did not.
Your thumb just flicked at me. You went, some of you instead straight at me and flicked your thumb at me.
What
so here we go.
Say? No, because I clicked saying. What was that
some
saying?
Some people
stop.
In Melbourne.
What was that saying again?
Which one?
Have got their pile in a pile.
People in Melbourne seem like they have their shit in a pile. But as I'm getting older, I'm realising that actually no one has their shit in a pile.
Well, I've never you're not wrong there.
That's great.
No, but Melbourne's the best city in Australia by far.
Well, I don't look. I know that I'm not coming. Going to say a new topic here, but the weather
is fucking deplorable.
Yeah,
like I knew winter is a bit cold. Strap myself in for that. It's actually not that cold compared to other places I've lived. It's the wind. It's the unpredictability. I don't like that I'm wearing shorts in the morning and a hoodie.
Because you can leave the house and be grossly underprepared. And despite having your whole wardrobe and an umbrella.
I know, like you know, after winter when I got all my coats dry cleaned and now I'm bringing them out again. It's very inconvenient.
If Melbourne had Sydney's weather or Queensland's weather, no one would ever leave. There'd be there'd be 24 million people in Melbourne.
That's
so
true.
Well, there's not a good enough beach close enough for
We need shit weather to fuck people off.
Okay,
so
I understand.
You reckon that so shit weather
is
like
population management.
Yeah.
The fuckwits.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I've been here 11 years, Natasha, and you don't get used to it.
So why are you here then?
Well, that's why I escaped to Sydney. Up to Sydney for the summer because I needed a real beach.
For this amazing podcast. Yeah.
And I come back for the podcast.
No, bringing her back.
No, but I don't want to sound like I'm potting it. Like I'm coming to this with an open mind.
There's no better place in the country for sport and entertainment, I don't think.
Okay,
I think it's
so
a really...
Yes, and I like comedy and I like sport. Mm, so
yeah. So that's what I'm here for work.
Do you think that people in Melbourne will like me?
Yeah, I think so.
There was hesitation there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, it depends how you go on this podcast.
I don't think anyone in Melbourne likes anyone. I don't even think they like themselves.
So I think that's right. I disagree there, Sam. Because you're
are you a big fan of yourself,
Dave? Am I a big fan of myself?
Yeah.
I don't know, not really. I don't know. I am.
So that's a hard yes.
I don't really know. I like myself, yeah, I guess.
Do you like who you are?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Are you happy?
Am I happy? Yep.
How's your soul?
Black.
Okay. Do you feel complete?
I've never thought about it, but fuck if I know. What does feeling complete mean? I don't know.
I'll tell you when I get there.
Do you feel content?
Content? Well, I don't know. I don't think about anything.
As far as people that I know, I feel like you are a pretty content person, Dane.
Pretty laid back and relaxed. Yeah. So it's just, I don't know.
You struck me as quite manic, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
That's sarcasm.
I know. I figured that.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just have to get you back for the polo joke.
What about South Africa? Did you enjoy that?
I did. Well, good segue.
Combine all this. No. Combine it because we're an AFL culture and part of being in the jungle.
Yes.
You got to experience the jungle with Dermot Brereton and Shane Crawford.
I did.
So what did that give you about Melbourne culture before you got here?
Okay. Well, in a word, excellent. So, but because I'm from Queensland, I'm more NRL, right? So I don't know a lot of AFL people. I'm changing that.
It's Dane Swan. Okay. Yep. Yeah, got a few touches in his time.
Yep. Yeah. No, I heard that you did okay on the field.
Once you got to the MCG, and off it. Couldn't stop getting it.
Yes, right. Good. No. So anyway, yeah. So I go into the jungle. What joke just happened that I just missed just there?
Dave, we did a podcast actually called Once I Got to the MCG, I Couldn't Stop Getting It, which was his quote from how he got drafted.
Because I was... That's
so the answer to your question, yes, he loves himself.
That's taken out of context because I was shit as a junior and I never got any of the ball, man. I got on the MCG and found a way to get it. A lot.
You were a slow starter, but then you...
I was a slow burn, don't worry about that.
But then when you got there, gee whiz.
I should have brought a book. I should have brought me book. You could have tucked into it.
Maybe. I mean, look, I'm looking for some light reading after the bushfires. So,
it's got a lot of pictures.
Excellent. I look forward to that. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, went into the jungle, didn't know a lot about AFL, knew there would be some people in there who were from AFL. Did not, oh my God, I cannot believe this, but I didn't know who Dermot Brereton was before I went into the jungle.
And you think I'm happy with myself? Let me tell you. Jesus.
Also, then, like, worked out, like, he's, you know, one of the most fabulous people that God ever could
Who would have thought
in.
Those two would be poster boys for Melbourne?
And then...
Croft and Derm.
And Derm.
Well, Croft came in late, and so he was sort of walked in, and I was like... Also don't know who you are. Like, is it Ryan Gosling's granddad?
Nice.
Or also a little bit of Michael Douglas vibes.
Right, yeah, actually, okay, yeah.
So anyway, didn't know who they were. Learned a lot about them, which had nothing to do with AFL. And in all seriousness, like... No, but
what was your impression of their personalities?
Oh, I adore both of them.
Yeah, right.
Dermot is incredibly... clever. He's also a fucking weirdo.
all the good ones are.
But, like, such a wonderful man. And I feel like after being in the jungle, as a rule, footballers, you know, can get a bad rap. With Shane and Dermot, I probably haven't met two better gentlemen in my life. Or do you reckon that they were just putting it on for
It's very, as you would know, it's very hard to, you can put it on for a few days, but eventually it breaks you down. So, no, they weren't putting on. What you see is what you get. Especially, I think with the sportsmen that go into that thing too, because they don't, the actresses and actors, the singers, the comedians, the people who play a role probably put it on a bit more.
Yeah.
Because they're used to doing that on TV and stuff like where the sportsmen and that just sportswomen, they just come in and they're just, they've always been themselves. So it's very hard for them to try and be something they're not. And it's very, very easy to see when you're trying to be fake. Because it happened, it happened in hours. Like with, as soon as I'd go and do a challenge, people would fucking turn into, you know, beats. Different people. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very much. And when you have, it's so odd that you're meeting some of these people for the first time and you're having these conversations about them and I'm like, okay, are you having this conversation because you're trying to connect with me or are you having this conversation because there's quite a few cameras on us and you're trying to do well? But do you work that
do
out.
Do you often forget? I've got one of my best friends, Dave's girlfriend, Tahan, actually, was on Big Brother and it blew my mind that you could forget that the cameras were there. Is it? Are you in a position that you can forget that they're there?
Not when you're out doing a challenge, they actually walk around with them. So like you can see it, but in the camp, like they're hidden. Well, they're not hidden, but they're stuck in trees and stuff. So there's not there's no one walking around with it. But you do. You
get comfortable.
But you'd kind of, when I was telling the story, I didn't really want to get the air. I'd just say fuck every second word so they couldn't put it on.
Good tactic.
I know. What
smart.
I was concerned about that. My family were concerned when I went in there. They were like, Tash, like you struggle to go on television at 1 to 2 hours at a time and not fuck up. Like how are you going to go 24/7 for weeks? And I was like, I can do this. I want to prove them wrong. And then I got out of the jungle and they're like, we're so proud of you. You managed to keep it all in a pile and not be too crazy. And I was like, well, no, it just got edited.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the good thing is that it's a family show. I reckon if it was the UK version,
oh my lord.
I would have come out probably looking a little bit worse than what I did because it's a family show because they can't obviously, well, because just like when you're sitting around having a drink, you just tell stories with your mates that something's probably, you know, you've done illegally or whatever it is. And like,
Dane's,
you're just
Dane's
a laugh.
Done a couple of illegal things in his past. Not many, excellent. Just a couple.
I've only been caught for a couple. One, two. Two I've been caught for.
But there were things I had in my head, though, before I went in, which was, you will not talk about that, dude. Yeah. And I was conscious of that.
And did you talk about it?
No, I didn't.
You still talked about it?
No, I didn't talk about it. Yeah, I didn't talk about it.
Are you close? Well, bring them up here. Give them some
What were they? What weren't you able to talk about?
Probably, like, I talked about a lot of, you know, personal things in the jungle, and I knew, like, I've had mental health issues since I was 15 and been through really tough times with that. And I'd never spoken about that publicly. And I knew that if I was going into the jungle, there's no way that I could get through, you know, 5 or 6 weeks without showing how vulnerable I was. And that was probably the scariest thing going into the jungle. It wasn't eating the weird food or jumping off the cliff. It was like, holy shit, I'm about to
reveal who you are, take your mask off, so to speak.
Pretty much. And I guess it was much bigger in my world than it was in anyone else's. But even with that, you know, my charity that I was doing things in there for was for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, which is something that I have endured throughout my life. And even though I was willing to talk a lot about my mental health, there are stories and things that have caused me to have PTSD that I wasn't willing to talk about.
No, and you don't. And you don't have to. I guess was there anything for you, Dane, that you kind of before you went in there thought to yourself, these things don't need to be spoken about with these people or the Australian public, or was there things you kind of wanted to keep to yourself?
Not really.
Well, thanks for having my back on that.
No, because things just don't need to be spoken about. Whether even if you haven't spoken about them publicly in the past, then there's no need to speak about them now to get people on side or for any other reason. Like, they're your stories.
That's what I haven't had, like, too many. Like, everything that I've fucked up with has been in the media anyway. So,
true. No, but I was about to ask that, actually.
Like, it hasn't. Like, I've had a reasonably, I don't know if normal is the word, but I haven't had any major, like, dramas or issues with myself.
That's always been my theory why sports people, be it
on or people covering it, actually pretty good at covering, you know, general media, because they're used to these huge blow-ups all the time.
Yes.
And your whole life has basically been an open book since you've been playing, because that's what being a footballer is, and probably it was different for you because you get on-screen and off-screen personas.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, I've always considered myself to be fairly level-headed, but I think for footballers, you go from being nobody and just plain Jane to all of a sudden the cameras are everywhere, you're earning a lot of money, people look at you. If mobile phones, if iPhones were around when I was 19 or 20, I would not have had a career in TV.
Well, mate, they came in when I was about 22 and I still nearly didn't have a career. That'd have been when I first got drafted. Fuck, I would have been gone in 6 months.
Exactly. So, like, I tip my hat to footballers or any people who experience a large degree of fame early on in their life, because that's hard.
Well, I'll tell you, actually, the one thing that I did consciously not was talk about my friends.
Yeah, I'm saying, or a certain family.
Yeah,
or,
who was still.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Playing, and look, so I don't want to tell a story. Like, I've just implicated a mate who's playing or played with or fucking is whatever, and then I get out the jungle and I've lost four friends because I've told a story which probably shouldn't go to air, and I've come out, hey, fuck boys or whatever, whoever I was talking about, and they go, well, you can fuck off. Like, you just dropped a story that was only meant to be for us and our friends. So that was conscious of that. So, like, I'd always just say, if I was telling a story, I'd just make, I'd only say my side. So I'd never lag any. I'll never put any of my mates
that
in.
That is your complete default position. It's hilarious.
It is. It's good. It's a good.
Absolutely.
It's very. But that shows.
It's a great quality, Dane. Absolutely. Because you mentioned that when you write your book
you're
as well.
Also humble.
This is very true.
No, but Tash, lots of people in sport, they get out of the media and they think, here's my chance to make it. Media.
They write a book about everyone.
They bag others.
No, I'm across it. Well, I don't think it's just sport. Some people who write books about other people, you know, what goes down in television, and you know, they don't even check with who they're writing about. And I mean, can you say the C word on here?
You can say cunt if you want.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's a couple of cunts out there. Yeah. Welcome.
Hey, tell me, so because you opened the door.
Mind you, if I my next book about my life, I'll tell you why, there'll be Caleb Peel getting a clip personally. Yeah, there'll be nothing to do with my football friends. They're safe. There'll be Caleb Peel will be getting a clip. Don't worry about that.
I didn't say you don't clip anyone. I said you never clip friends.
I'm looking at one.
Yeah.
So he needs a clip. Check out that beard. What's going on there?
Yeah.
You left the jungle.
Oh, just let that through the keeper. Through the keeper. What's going on? No, let's talk about it.
Just summer growth. It's just stupid.
Summer growth. I thought there's more of a winter growth
thing.
Hasn't
gone down real well at home, but it won't be staying. So.
Oh.
You haven't gone down real well at home?
I mean,
Ralph,
I don't need to hear about that.
I don't need to hear about that, Ralph.
Gone down on anyone at
home. Because of the beard. I don't need to hear about that, Ralph.
No, see, this is what he does. He just takes a breath.
You need a Gwyneth
Paltrow
candle.
Moves on to the next.
What?
What do they do? The Dane Swan candle.
What would it smell like, Dane? What would the scent be?
It's similar to Gwyneth's. say what though? Like,
yes, probably.
Fuck.
Jesus Christ.
What? Surely she's taking the piss. She has to be.
No, that's the next candle.
What? Yeah. Fucking no. But like, at least there's an excuse for like a cheating husband or something. Like, you can just go, she can come out and go, where have you been? And I was around playing the Xbox fucking and lit Ken Gwyneth's box up just fucking playing. So it's got nothing. So I don't know what you're talking about. It's not on me. It's just, it's Gwyneth. I haven't done anything. I was playing Xbox with the boys, just lit a couple of candles. And that was it.
So, the place zen.
Yeah. Wow. She's got to be tainted. She's like Kanye. She's going to make something so fucking ridiculous that everyone's going to sell out and then...
Now, the winners at the moment, is it Joaquin Phoenix? What's it?
Joaquin.
Mm. No. So he said how he's doing his bit for the planet after flying to to the Academy Awards, saying he's not going to eat meat.
Okay.
But he flew there to say that.
Well, how else is he going to get there?
Yeah.
Well, you can go by boat.
That's fair enough.
He goes by boat.
Yeah. He could do. You know, we don't need a few people doing it perfectly.
That's where he's from.
Ralph, we need everyone doing it imperfectly.
I'm not sure he can just... Do you drive a boat or... Do you steer? What do you do with the boat? Steer a boat or do you drive it?
I think you drive it, mate. Well, I'm not positive though.
I'm sure you can drive it.
Any skippers out there want to give us a?
We can Google it.
So hold on, before we finish the jungle. So what was the hardest part for you?
The hunger.
The hunger.
Yeah, I knew that we would be eating plain food. Yep. But just I was just hungry the whole
time. Is that PLANE?
Do you get hangry? Is that the word?
Well, yeah, I didn't know if I did, but yeah, I think so. Or just a lack of enthusiasm. Like I had to do one of the trials where it was like a little bit of an obstacle course. And in my head, I was like going like the clappers and just being Speedy Gonzales. But then I looked at it back and I was just like so slow. I was embarrassed that it went to air.
Have you watched it all back?
I've watched most of it back. My stuff several times.
Yeah. So I'm the complete opposite. I haven't watched any of it.
Well,
see, do you watch yourself back on the news to make sure to...
I hate it. I hate doing that. And so generally, no. But I like being... I want to be good at it. So sometimes I'm like, I've got to watch it.
Do you have a coach?
Do I...
We get a coach and like we have, I didn't watch... I hated watching my vision anyway. I don't need to see me getting an uncontested mark on a wing and fucking handballing it to someone. Like 10-year-olds can do that. I don't know why I need to see it, but
what about 40 times?
Yeah, yeah. I've got shit to do.
Very busy man. He works from home.
Yeah, but we have a coach. Obviously, would come in and like critique us and tell us what we've done wrong. Do you have an on-screen coach?
I've got a fair few people on social media who can tell me what I'm doing right or wrong. I mean, when I first started in news, you have like a voice coach who's able to teach you to speak properly on television, and then you have probably a couple of mentors who, so not an official coach as such, but people will tell you what you've done wrong.
There you go. I didn't know that.
But you kind of know, like you. Well, that's why I watch myself back. You kind of know.
Yeah,
when you
that's
fuck
why,
up.
Sam. That's why. That's why. Yeah. Absolutely.
You kind of know when you fuck up. Like sometimes you come off air and you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
What did I just say? Did I have a stroke?
Well, I mean, I've done one or two things on television that I know have definitely been fuck ups.
That's okay.
Who hasn't?
Yeah. What was the hardest part for you?
The boredom.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Because I like the food.
You got to do things, right?
Yeah.
You're a tactile.
I just need to I can sit down and watch. Like I've said on this show, but I think I'm as good at doing fuck all as anyone. And
I excel at that also.
Yeah. And on that show, you literally do fuck all. But I needed to be doing fuck all in front of a TV or something.
Right.
So the food was, you know, like you said, I got used to it after. And I don't, you know, I have a lot of vices, obviously, but I don't drink coffee nor do I smoke. So. Right. I wasn't coming down off them. You know what
sugar
I mean?
Was the one for me, chocolate. Yeah.
So for the first week, obviously, you know, you sleep pretty much all day unless you're out doing a trial. But then the food was fine. I was just fucking finding something to do all day, going to the waterfall, but you can only go four at a time.
Come back
sleeping. And mate, that was the hardest part for me. And just laying there, just thinking of amazing ideas, but I couldn't write them down.
And
I'll tell you what it was. I had billion-dollar ideas at night, and I was like, "Don't think of that, keep that." Wake up, I'm going, "Fuck, I forgot about it." And I couldn't write them down. I wouldn't have been here. I'd be sitting on my billion-dollar boat somewhere, my yacht somewhere, with my million-dollar ideas.
Is one of them about what happened in the Yellow Pages that you sent out before Christmas?
What?
You sent out on Twitter, are the Yellow Pages still a thing? Or is that the White Pages?
No, I don't know. Are the Yellow Pages still a thing? Where's this? Why did you bring that up?
Because they're the random thoughts that come into your mind and now you've got an outlet for them. And
exactly. I don't know why. I had a random thought the other day too.
what? Forgot about it.
Oh,
so why'd you do the juggle dash?
Why didn't you just say them out loud and then you could have gone to the producers, hey, because they would have stolen it. Oh, okay, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Did they not sign an NDA? No. You should have made them sign one.
I think I signed an NDA, but I told everyone I knew what I was going on it.
Did you?
Yep.
And that was okay. Like,
well, they didn't. Well, bad luck. What are they going to do? Well, because I wanted advice. I was like, should I go on it?
Yes.
And then a lot of people were saying yes. So I was like, oh, fuck it. I was doing nothing else.
Yeah.
So
and that's why you went on it?
Yeah, because I had nothing else to do.
What's the second reason why you
Oh, charity, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah, obviously. To help others.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get paid at all.
What was your charity name?
The Dane Swan Foundation.
Yeah. I don't know.
What was the charity?
It was David Butterfin's, the Nick Foundation. Yeah. So it was our fitness trainer at Collingwood, his son took his own life. I think it was our premiership year, actually, 2010. So he started the Nick Foundation just to help teens and stuff.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so that's it was early, you know, touch with, there hasn't been too many, you know, personal tragedies or things that I've been close with that has happened to me and my family. So that was the closest thing that touched me. So that's why I did that.
Hey, Tash, so by extension from what Swanee just said, and one of the headlines that came out from you being in the jungle was your depression that you spoke about.
Yep.
How are you seeing that from an outside now, and we had the tragedy of Danny Frawley last year? Do you think people are more, there's less stigma about talking about it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I definitely think that there's less stigma, but I still think that there's huge problems. I also think it's significantly more difficult for men than women. But, I mean, I feel like Dane would probably be in a better position to comment on where we're at with mental health. I like that I can come on here now and talk to you guys about dark times. I mean, not that I've gone into enormous detail about it, and it's just like, you know, that's part of who you are if you've had diabetes or cancer or things like that. Sometimes I think we're going the other way, though, with overanalyzing our emotions too much with young kids. Like,
I agree.
There's, you know, anxiety and depression among teenagers. And, I mean, I was one of those teenagers.
I think it's exacerbated a little bit.
Like I say point blank, if I didn't have medication when I was 15 years old, I would be dead, right? So, obviously, depression and anxiety is a problem among young people. But I also think that you've got to find a line, because sometimes it's not necessarily a depression or anxiety.
Mm.
Sometimes it's just that it's a tough break, you know, like going from school to, you know, finding your way in the world. But obviously I didn't know Danny Frawley, but I couldn't watch any of that coverage without crying. Mm. I don't know how you get up from that.
Yep. And one of the things you said, and I'm not prying into anything personal, but you said about how the hardest thing was almost when you lost your job and then you didn't have headspace to get into your work.
Yes.
And I found the same thing about a dozen years ago with me.
Yes.
And I didn't have medical depression, but Jesus Christ, because you want an outlet.
Exactly.
And I think most people actually want an outlet.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to do things to keep your mind busy, and I don't think you need to have a mental illness for that. No. I think that's anybody, and you talk about the boredom. So, I was, when I got out of the jungle and the number of people who contacted me to say, oh, I've had PTSD or I've had depression, you know, thanks for speaking about it openly and then being able to share their stories with me. Like, that's probably the most successful thing I've ever done in my career, I think.
The jungle?
Mm. Well, being able to... Yeah,
yeah.
Being able to actually help people in that way is pretty amazing, I think.
Right. Well, another thing you've done very successfully is to bring to the current, and while we've got you in, you covered the bushfires up at East Gippsland Way, and you were a star, and so were... I'm just blown away by how good the media coverage was from people on the ground there, and I'm looking at it from the contrast that the idiots on social media, including people in air-conditioned studios in the media, compared to the on-the-ground stuff, I reckon was so good. Oh. And how was the experience?
Thanks. Well, I didn't probably see as much coverage as you because I was on the ground creating the stories. It's heartbreaking what's happening to our country right now. I was in Mallacoota, so many people who've lost their homes and just, you know, our wildlife and people who are rescuing them. And there's some wonderful positive stories coming out of that as well. Like, I probably got home yesterday and had a bit of a cry.
I've been crying the whole time. That's nothing. Yeah. Awful.
But if there's anything to be buoyed by, you know, when people say, oh, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. No, it's not.
That's not.
The number of people who've got each other's back and the amount of donating and things that are going in, we're A-OK. But also, though...
Tell us about the community spirit on the ground, though, because obviously you were there and we weren't. We can only see a couple of minutes of what you do.
So I was in Lakes Entrance for a couple of days, and then we needed to get to Mallacoota. Obviously, the roads were shut, and the only way to really get there was via boat. So I spent 12 hours on a boat to get there. There was no power there, no hire cars, so we had to somehow, through a friend of a friend, borrow a car, and then through another friend of a friend, my camera guys slept on a floor in someone else's house. And the moment that you get in there, people are like, how are you? Do you need some food? Do you need a place to stay? How can we help you? Thank you so much for being here. I'm like, I'm sorry, you just lost your house and you're asking me if I need a sandwich. And that was just collective throughout the entire town. Firefighters are just extraordinary, but then you've got volunteers who are also working around the clock, just keeping these towns together, and the resilience is mind-boggling. And the one point I would want to make is everyone's asking, how can we help? Who do we donate to? And it's difficult because how do we know that it's going to get to the people who need it? Is some of that money just going to go to some admin somewhere? And the best piece of advice I can give you is go to that town as a holiday, as Mallacoota, East Gippsland, Alpine region, places in New South Wales. They are beautiful. And they are being wiped off the map in an economic sense because the towns are ghost towns. No one's in them. You know, Alpine Shire lost $90 million in 2 weeks. So, you know.
Empty Eskies, that Empty Eskie campaign.
Is there an end in sight, like, for the...
Well, these next couple of days are basically the best batch of weather that we've had since the end of November. And
it's 14th of January. Rain, people will listen to us at any time. So it's 14th of January. Yeah.
So that's, but our fire season isn't over yet, Dane, and they're talking about some of these fires continuing to burn for 3 months. Oof. So I think, I don't want to be an alarmist, but I think we're kidding ourselves if we don't think that there's more to come.
How hard is it to do your job when you also, I assume there would have been a degree of being scared in an area like that. Was there? I shouldn't assume.
Yeah, no, I felt like we kept pretty safe most of the time. I've spent a lot of time working in war zones in like Afghanistan and Syria and things like that. So doing work under pressure, I guess I've become accustomed to that. But having said that, though, I've never reported on bushfires before, so I don't know how a fire moves. And
how is the emotions safe. Different for you? If that's a fair question.
It's very difficult to compare the two because when you have children being bombed and dying from chemical weapons, it is, you don't want to compare
the worst.
Situations, but people are dying, seeing the wildlife, people having their homes wiped out, and also reporting on a disaster that is happening in my own country, you're more attached to that naturally, I think. And to be honest, I'm pretty fresh off the ground and probably still running on adrenaline and lack of sleep at the moment. So check in with me in a couple of weeks to see it's how I'm awful.
Are you going back out there? Are you going back out there?
I may. The next couple of days I'm not, and I'll be staying in Melbourne. But, I may go out again.
I think that I applaud you. I've been really emotional over this, but I do applaud you because we bag journos on here a lot. Sorry.
And no, rightfully so.
Because some of them can just write awful pieces about people that don't deserve to be written about. But I'm from bushfire country out in bush WA. So I've grown up with like the skills and knowledge and been around bushfires. And so I feel like I've got a very different view to a lot of people on what's happening. And at the other end of the scale.
Share it.
Oh, it makes me very angry. Well, I grew up in a bush school where a lot of our influence and learning was around Aboriginal culture, and the Australian bush is designed to regenerate through fire, but we as white Australians have stopped that over... There are so many things that have contributed to this, basically, but the beautiful thing that we're seeing now are these beautiful images of the bush coming back to life, right? Australian, a lot of Australian flora actually spit their seeds. When fire is coming their direction, they spit their seeds in the opposite direction so that they know to re-germinate and come back to life, right? But humans have had a massive impact in causing and exacerbating this fire season that we're having. I'm a massive believer in climate change as well. But where I grew up, if you did not, each kind of street in our town had an allocated day, just like you had your allocated watering days where you had to do your burning off. And if you didn't do it, you had massive fines. And everyone had done their back burning, or if your neighbours hadn't done it, you're like, oh mate, when are you back burning? Everyone knew as a community that that's what you had to get done. Or you had your fire breaks around your property, which is like basically set fence, sand for a couple of metres, and then your paddocks to stop these fires from continuing. So all of it is kind of common sense to me, but a lot of people aren't educated in any of this stuff, and ignorance for some people seems to be bliss. Now, where I come from in Perth, I then moved out of there, and so I've got a whole nother group of friends that don't actually understand the severity or how they can have how they've had an effect or how they can have an effect until all this coverage. And so it's been a slow burn. People here in Victoria are now starting to understand what the people in New South Wales have dealt with, because there's smoke in the air and you can't see the city skyline today. The only thing that I think, if it doesn't happen to you, people don't understand. And the thing that is kind of helping with that is the journos that are on the ground bringing these stories and all these awful images. But without that, people can't be educated and can't quite understand the severity of what people are going through. And so by you risking your life being out there, it's a story that needs to be shared, and people won't be educated and won't sit there and, you know, educate themselves unless you kind of almost force it upon them. And then they realise, fuck, we're fucked. So we have you guys to thank for that, for spreading the word and spreading the story, and look at how it's spread across the world.
Mate, Sam, thank you so much for saying that. I feel...
So important.
As someone in the media, it's a tough one that you need to work out how to cover as well, because I go in with the intentions of doing exactly what you've just said and creating awareness, but you can understand from some of the firefighters or people who've lost their homes, there is some degree of animosity towards the media as well, because there are some fuckwit journos. I think it's a pretty low base, but you know, they'll go around and shoot what they think is like great pictures, and it's actually a person's home who they've never met, where their kitchen used to be. And so there's got to be a little bit of respect with that, and yeah, of course. And they're thinking about deadlines, getting the story, getting tears on tape, you know. And I think that's definitely decreased. So you just see what people are capable of, and so if you can play any role in that, it's a privilege. Hopefully that doesn't sound too wanky.
I'm going to read this from Kerry Lambert, who's a friend of mine. She was a long-time producer at SEN. She happened to be there. So she tweeted this out, so it's public. So we're out and safe. Before we start pointing fingers at politicians, let's concentrate our energy in thanking the people who are volunteering to save all. There'll be time to assess actions later. I'm sick of reading political opinions about the bushfire. Do what you can to help. I've seen the choppers waterbombing, seen the trucks, heard their sirens, I've heard houses explode. Think of those people impacted, not your political view.
That's exactly right.
When we did get this service platform, when we did get this service, and this is about getting out of there, platforms like Twitter and Facebook were clogged with people's political opinions. We needed these social sites for information. Use your empathy, not your vitriol. Getting off Twitter for a while, people have lost their lives, livelihood and homes, but on here it's becoming a political blame game.
And I think people feel like they need to have a statement or a standpoint, and they need to show I didn't vote for him and can't stand him, but he was very clear from the beginning that he didn't believe in climate change. So rather than standing there and pointing fingers at someone that's been elected, do something. You're wanting these climate change things to come in. What are they going to do? Put rules in place. Well, start living that way already. Start reducing, reusing and recycling without waiting for some fuckwit to tell you to do so.
Yeah.
And then you're standing on your high horse and Twitter and pointing fingers.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think that it's just a cop out to say our politicians need to do more. We ourselves need to do more in what we do in our everyday lives. And from being on the ground and hearing about the climate change debate and all of the politics that are involved in that, no one was talking about what Scott Morrison said in his press conference today, or where's the Kyoto, or they were fending for their lives. Mm. These guys are literally like just, you know, with these fires, they are shielding the shit from the fan with a tea leaf. Mm. And it's not the right time to be playing some tit for tat, I told you so game. No. And that goes for, you know, everyone going, oh, climate change, of course we have to have the debate. But right now, people are fighting for their lives, so pick up a hose or piss off.
So that's what I meant about journos and air-conditioned studios versus people on the ground. Mm. And last week, the family, we drove up to Sale. There's a place called Gippsland Women's Centre, I think, and they take women's sanitary products and so forth as donations. They're the one place still wanting donations because they then hand it directly. And while my wife was in there dropping stuff off, I just took the dog for a walk, and there's an empty shop that was full of people and a big sign at the front saying, come in, get what you need. And I thought, that's actually on the ground community spirit. Yes. And then we're driving back and I heard ABC radio interview, Josh Frydenberger's talking about emergency relief, this, and this. Like, this is what we need. This is what these people are getting. This is what we can do. But tell us about where your position is on climate change. I'm thinking, no, fuck me. You're so far out of touch by asking that question. Not because climate change isn't important, because there's a fire to put out. Yes. There's people's... Yeah. That's what I mean by that, you know?
Yeah. No, I do. I think that climate change is a huge issue, but... There's a time and place and respect.
So never mind Judge Judy. Judge Swanee. Right, 4 days ago. If you get caught lighting fires and committing arson in bushfire-affected areas, scamming people out of their donation money, or looting from people who are suffering from the fires, well, you shouldn't go to jail. You just should be set on fire.
I think that's fair enough.
Community approval.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen it all?
Well, I couldn't say it much better than what you three, especially... two ladies have said, but yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't really know. I'm not on the ground. I obviously, you know, I'm not affected by it, nor do I know anyone, so I only see the horrible images that you get on Instagram and on the news. So yeah, it's heartbreaking. We can only do what we can do.
You're sorted, eh? You've done your bit.
Oh yeah.
Tell us what you've been doing.
I did put a post up, but the one thing I feel uncomfortable with is asking people to donate and like spend money, because I understand how tough times, you know, people have tough times, and I feel really uncomfortable, and especially like because my bar had of doing a couple of fundraisers, and it just doesn't sit well with me posting something about come down to the Albion, and because it just feels like I'm promoting the bar or I'm doing this, and so it feels uncomfortable for me doing that. So you know, they are everyone's doing everything, you know, there wouldn't be an adult in Australia who hasn't done one something. Thing, shape or form. So my bar's done a couple of things. I've got a couple of other things in the works. Going to try and get a night or two happening. But, yeah, I rode the guys where I trained with. At F45, they rode for 24 hours to raise money, which is... I don't know if you've ever been on a roll, but fuck me.
No, I hate the roll. Well, you were telling me what you're like...
Yeah, so I did about... Me and a mate... relieve them for about 4 hours, I think. Yeah. Just over 4 hours. So Oregon rode about 27K or something like that.
Ooh, that's about 27K is more than I would like to ever row.
I know, over the weekend. So
yeah. And what were you doing? What speed was this at? Under two?
Yeah, so obviously you look at the machines per 500. I was probably the last 30 minute was probably about 210, 220, but every time underneath that was probably, I was struggling.
Nearly even showing uphill.
Let me tell you, that was the longest I've ever pulled anything over the weekend. So, I'll tell you, it's the longest I've ever... fuck.
Can we be friends after this?
I had calluses, I had everything, mate. My hands were fucked, me calluses, so even had a sore knee, which has never happened before, so I don't know what I was doing, but...
Dane Swan, Ken Paul.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what, I've just realised.
Quite the puller.
Let's give it another go. Very good at it.
Had a good pull.
Yeah.
I wonder why you're looking so you know, happy.
Yeah, very relaxed. Yeah, only fell asleep.
Between that and Gwyneth Paltrow's scandals, you're
exactly. I'll tell you, but I go to the walking up to Chapel Street because the place where it was done is on Chapel Street. Because I did like a. I went to the movies, obviously, in my pajamas. And
Sorry, are you about to say something serious?
No. when I went and got changed, and then like says, I relieve them of their duties.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Let me finish my sentence. Dirty-minded people! I said, me and my mate relieved them together. It was a group effort about midnight. So walking up Chapel Street. In like footy shorts, like a, you know, and just a, you know, the Nike tank, whatever, runners, and a sweat towel where everyone's partying. I've walked up and down Chapel Street a few times in a lot of fucking different states, but Ready to Go Row was not one of them. So it was fucking people, when people are drunk, they look like fucking idiots, don't they? Do I look like that?
Your next book should be Swanee's Book of Wisdom.
He's like, actually quite wise.
People are running Shuts around, carrying on and screaming and jumping. I was like, fuck, is that me? I said, I may never drink again. Then I was like, nah, who am I kidding?
I'm not giving that up.
And then whilst I was rowing, like, there was like an alleyway like behind...
you were pulling in an alleyway.
Yeah, no, I was pulling looking into an alleyway.
I wonder why you get bad.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can never remember the good ones.
Well, it's a long one. I had to fucking sweat. Endurance. Me back stiff. I'm actually going to go down the pool. The pool. P-O-O-L.
Pool.
Yes, I'm going to the swimming pool.
Queensland.
Pool. And getting the spa and sauna at the Savo. And
bit of recovery from water. You having a good pool over the weekend.
Yeah. From a marathon pool.
And you reckon our weather can change? What about the topics on this podcast?
Dancing through them.
But, mate, they rode for... I obviously went home and moisturised and shower. But they were there for 24 hours, so it was good on them. Every little bit helps, so do your best. I pulled for Australia. So, absolutely.
I want to mention one sort of charity because it actually inspired by your tweet as well about all the media guys all bought a shirt, didn't you?
Yeah. So, because there's ghost towns at the moment through a lot of East Gippsland, so all of the stores, they've got no people in them. So a bunch of us went and bought these sort of ridiculous Hawaiian shirts, which I actually look pretty good in, I reckon. But, yeah, it's just a simple thing of it just costs us $25 each and just pumping some money back into the economy.
So something called It's My Shout.
Yes.
.com.au, I think. Good. I first saw it on the project.
Yep.
And you can just scroll through and you can buy virtual coffees.
Oh,
I bought a virtual camel ride. Yeah. I'm a camel jockey.
Absolutely. I say your New Year's resolution wasn't to get off Twitter and stop arguing with people.
Nor stop posting the full concert
on
his Instagram.
Did you know I went to Collector's Date at Bendigo?
You're nearly getting an unfollow.
He's moved from his story. Now he's putting them on his feed.
Tash, what are your thoughts on when you go to a concert? Like, how many posts should you put up? Like, obviously everyone puts...
Yeah, okay, right.
Should you put up an hour of story of the whole concert? Just fucking with your finger on record?
No, you punch a couple of images, you'll do a 10-second story, and then you're out.
Yeah, well...
So you did a whole hour.
What if there's different beds though? So I've got the Living End, then James Rain.
Yeah, but exactly. We don't need you to bring that to the people. If they wanted to be there, they would go there. It's not like you're creating a docuseries about what happened at this concert.
You need to enjoy it. You don't want to enjoy
stop
it.
Being so selfless and thinking of other people. Just think of yourself for a moment. Actually, be in the moment.
I work with the man of the people.
It's true.
Okay, so when you were there and you were like, going to post an hour of this, and I think that's a good idea. Is that what you thought?
I actually said to my mate, this really shit swatty, so I'm going to do it.
That's why I get an unfollow.
Have you unfollowed him?
He's just about, yeah.
He's on the verge. It's relentless. It really is. Him.
So
I don't know
what
how to do that. I'm not fucking clever enough.
I do. It's a few people I've moved.
You're too busy pulling you.
Yeah, exactly.
What's in store for you now?
I'm I'm having a day off. So
how nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the gymnasium after this.
Can you wait? Yeah, no. Well,
you're back to work.
No days off over here, mate. No, I work from home.
Do you?
Yep.
What are you doing?
He works from home.
He mops.
I'm not mopping again. Oh, because I got no. I don't.
Maybe
mop.
I can come over to your place and mop with you.
Yeah, well, I mopped once and got trapped in a corner.
Did you? What?
What? Because it was all wet around me.
Oh. So not related to his activities on the weekend.
Yeah. So I had to sit there for an hour, stand there for an hour and a half till it dried.
Sort of told you that you might maybe be the dumbest smart person.
I was mopping. Well, I fucking never mopped before. How do I know?
Well, that's your first problem.
Took you 30 years to mop.
35
years.
Well.
Yeah. Okay. Good for you. Well, yeah. I'm really glad that you're good at football.
Well, not anymore.
Well,
my hands have got many other talents, as we've discussed.
Oh yes, yeah. Too many calluses to catch a ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks to Natasha Exby for coming in. You're a star. Appreciate all the work you've done.
Didn't tell me joke. I'll have to save it.
No, we're not finishing without the joke. I'm just doing the bit to say goodbye, so Tash can just walk.
I haven't thought one up.
Fair enough. I believe in you.
Well,
let me have a think. Let me have a look. I've written some down.
I believe in you. So you're having a day off and then what?
I am. I'm having a day off and then I'm having another day off. So two in a row.
Lady of leisure. She really will hang out with Dane after this.
Yes.
What are you doing, Sam?
No.
I'm going back to work.
What? Are you back at the tennis or not? Why are you wearing such high heels? They're beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. But
because I have been in sneakers and the same polo shirt. You know what it's like when you're on the road and you can't wash your clothes? Yes. I had to buy underwear and socks yesterday because I had nothing left because I've been on the road and out of a suitcase since Christmas.
Yep.
So I just wanted to put some nice clothes and feel like a girl again. Okay. You know, put some heels on.
Well, you look delightful.
Thank you so much.
What a way to finish.
I've got clean underwear on too for anyone
wondering.
What
a way to finish. I think he's run out of time. So thank you for listening to Hump Day with Swanee and Friends.
Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.